Ashraf Garda on SAFM.
I believe it. Lebo's been telling my producers, like, you know, that happened 2 days before the 27th of April, 1994. So all those ballot sheets that were then distributed already to certain districts, they had to stick the ballot sheet of stick on the ballot sheet the IFP. And guess where the IFP were placed, therefore, on that ballot sheet? If you know, I know. If you know, was it at the bottom? I think it was. I thought it was right on top. You tell me, check it out, bottom or top of that original first ever historic ballot sheet. Okay, let's get another thought on the conversation around the IEC with Professor Insileko Breakfast, who's a political analyst and director of the Center for Security, Peace and Conflict Resolution. Prof, good chatting to you and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. I mean, you probably picked up on the conversation I had with the IEC. Does anything jump off the page here that you'd like to punctuate?
I think, as it stands, the issue of Mshololozi has not been fully addressed, largely because it has divided the legal fraternity. And because of that, I think it is urgent and it needs to be addressed. And I think the Constitutional Court is a relevant platform to rule over it. Now, regarding whether it can be the embodiment of the party or not, or whether it can be a member of the National Assembly, I think there are some complexities that we need to appreciate, because as your other speaker was saying, that he can be the image of the party on the ballot paper, but that has no bearing. It has nothing to do with whether he can be the member of the National Assembly. And also I was making reference to what had happened in 1994 when the IFP entered into the elections at the 11th hour or at short notice.
And we just Lebo's reminded me now, in fact, that the IP was put at the bottom of the ballot sheet because that was the only place that there was space. There was certainly no space on the top. Okay, that makes sense. That would this give? So let's just say, you know, the issue of former President Jacob Zuma is not resolved. Would the fact that his image would be on the ballot sheet, would that give the MK a significant psychological advantage, keeping in mind that his position, his role within the MK party is very driven by his personality?
Yes, it would, because I think MK is banking on his popularity to solicit votes on a large scale. I think also the IEC is being strategic and wants to come across to be fair and square, because there have been people who have cast their aspersions on the IEC that, you know, they are biased, or I don't know, they're holding a grudge against Mshololozi, or they're entering into the domain of politics. So I think they can find comfort in the latest developments, that the fact that they have submitted an application to the Constitutional Court has no bearing on whether it can be the image of the party or not.
How does that play off in terms of, you know, the most important phrase of all after 29th of May, which is free and fair?
Free and fair elections cannot be judged on the day the electorate have gone to polling stations to cast their votes. You have to look at certain markers. You have to look at certain building blocks. The political environment must be free of threats. There must be no threats which are posing a danger to the freeness or fairness of the elections. But of course, there have been statements that are of great concern that have been made by Umkhonto we Sizwe. But I think they appreciate the danger of those statements, because they've removed that guy who made those statements as the image of the wing of the party. But I don't think that the upcoming general elections will be characterized by violence, because, I mean, there are no elections which are perfect. I mean, you know what had happened in the U.S. when the supporters of Trump tried to engage in violence. But regardless of that, those elections were regarded as free and fair. Even the recent elections In the DRC, you know, there were questions that were asked by opposition parties, but still the elections were declared as free and fair. So what I'm saying is I don't think that there are elections in theory or in practice which are perfect. But of course, I would be worried if, for instance, leaders of opposition parties cannot criticize the government, if the media cannot operate freely. But at the same time, I think at the moment, you know, I have no serious concerns, you know, that there is a danger that is posing a threat to the upcoming general elections. Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a credit to South Africa, isn't it? That all things considered, the media can be critical of government, opposition parties can be critical of each other and the ruling government and vice versa. I mean, those levels of robust debates continue on air, on this show, everywhere else, radio, TV, in different platforms. It does happen in South Africa. And it's a privilege when compared to others, although it's a right.
Well, of course. Of course. And it's one of our strong points as a democracy. And I think we need to build on that. But of course, we have to close the gaps that we have, you know, in terms of some of the careless statements that are made by other leaders of political parties.
Okay, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you for your time. Most appreciated. That's Professor Intsikelelo Brakvis, political analyst, director of the Center for Security, Peace and Conflict Resolution.